Bring hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's Word.
I'm doing today part 5 of my teaching, which is titled, In Him. In Him, and my subtitle for today is The Power at Work in Us. The Power at Work in Us. As a matter of fact, this is part of what I had to teach last week. I couldn't complete everything I was saying last week because of time, and so I shifted part of it to this week and developed it a little bit more. So in a sense, it's a continuation of the believer's authority, but we're looking at the power at work in us. And we're going to start from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. We read it last week, but I'm re-emphasizing, and then we'll develop it from there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23 is the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians. And I believe it is also a prayer that should form the basis of our prayer as children of God. Many times we go to prayer and we pray for all kinds of things. We pray for favor, we pray for breakthrough, we pray for turnaround, we pray for healing. And sometimes we even pray that our enemies will die. And we pray all kinds of prayer. But this is the kind of prayer we should be praying. I want you to listen to Paul's prayer for the church very carefully, because it should be our prayer as well. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, verse 17 is a prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, in this passage, if you look at verse 19, it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Paul talks about God's power toward us. God's power toward us. And it's important for us to know the extent of the power that is at our disposal. And in this passage, it says that the power at our disposal is exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness is a very interesting way to describe power. We talk about having great power. But Paul says the power of God toward us is exceeding greatness. In other words, it exceeds greatness. The word exceed means it surpasses, it goes beyond greatness. The Greek word that is translated great is very interesting. It also means something that is very loud, something that is very loud. And so the power of God toward us is beyond something that is very loud. It's almost like the sound you hear when a bomb is detonated. The Bible says the power of God surpasses that loudness of power. And in verse 20, it says it is according to the working of God's mighty power which he worked. According to the working of God's mighty power which he worked. There's a very interesting phrase in verse 20, and I'll come back to it later in my message. But take note of it. The working of God's mighty power which he worked. Now, Paul says that the power at work in us does three important things. Number one, that it resurrects. It resurrects. It raised Christ from the dead. The power of God toward us is the power of resurrection, or what we call resurrection power. It resurrects. It raised Christ from the dead. Now, when you read that phrase, he raised it, that power raised Christ from the dead, the immediate way that you will interpret it is that it raised Christ from being dead. So Jesus was dead and the power raised him. And that is true. But if you look at the phrase, it didn't say that it raised Christ from death. If it says it raised Christ from death, it means he died and he was raised. But the phrase says he raised him from the dead. The dead. So what is the dead? Basically, what the verse is saying is that the power of God toward us is the same power that raised Christ from the place of the dead. He raised him from the place of the dead. For you to fully appreciate that verse, you don't need to turn it. But Isaiah chapter 14, you can note it, says some things about Lucifer. And in Isaiah 14 verse 12, it says, "How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." Now, you know that Lucifer is a synonym for Satan. And then verse 17, still describing Lucifer, it says he terrified nations and so on. Verse 17 of Isaiah 14 says, "Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners?" Who did not open the house of his prisoners? In other words, when Satan holds you, he never releases you. He has power to keep his prisoners in prison. But the power toward us went to that place where prisoners are not released and forcefully released Jesus from the dead and raised him from the dead. In order to do that, it had to first destroy the prison warder so that the prisoners can be set free. The resurrection power of Jesus does not just raise Jesus from being dead, but it also raised him from a place where nobody comes back. And it is a power that the Bible says exceeds greatness. It is an exceedingly great power. It is a resurrection power. The second thing is that that power subdues. It doesn't just resurrect, it subdues. The Bible says that that same power put all things under the feet of Jesus. It is the power that resurrects not only the dead, but also resurrects us from the place of the dead. And it's a power that subdues. And number three, it is a power that establishes. The Bible says that that power made Christ the head of all things. The power of God towards you will resurrect, will subdue all things, and will establish you. Even if you are in a place where people don't come out of. You know, sometimes people will tell you, this situation, when you go through, you can never recover. But there is exceeding power in the power of God to go to the place of the dead and set captives free. So if you have been told you will not recover from your situation, there is power in God to bring you from a place where people don't come out of, and your testimony is going to be different. Somebody is going to declare to your life that you recovered from a situation that nobody recovers from. It is power, exceedingly great power. Now, when you go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, this power is referenced again, or this power is made mention of again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And it reads, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." But I want you to know the verse 20, "according to the power that works in us, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." According to the power that works in us. Now, if you compare that phrase, "according to the power that works in us," with what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Now, if you look at both verses, it's talking about God's power towards us, and it says "according to." And there are two important words that are used in both verses. The first word is the word power. 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 In the Greek, the word power is dunamis. Dunamis. Power means strength or force. It describes a force that moves things and a force that gets things done. Dunamis. Dunamis is the out of which we get the English word dynamic or dynamite. Dunamis is the power that gets things done. It means to be strong. It means to have the ability to perform. It means to have riches and wealth. It means to have military force. It means to have numerical advantage. So when the Bible says that somebody has dunamis, it means that they have power that makes them do things. It is strength and it is force. Dunamis. Then there is a second word in those two verses, and that word is work. 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 In the Greek, that word work is energeo. Energeo, as you can tell, is a word from which you get the English word energy or activity. It means to be at work, to act or be active. In Ephesians 1, we are told about the working of God's power. In Ephesians 3:20, we are told according to the power that works in us. The power that works. God's power is not just dunamis power, but it is power that is energized. Power that works. It is power that works. Everybody say, power that works. Now, in the verse we just read, it says that power is in us. The power of the believer comes from within. And that power within us is able to do beyond all that we ask or think about. The power, the dunamis of God is in us. It's in us. It is resident in us. It is in us. Now, I know somebody would say, well, Pastor, isn't the power of God in heaven? Isn't the power of God in heaven? How can you say the power is in us? Because when we pray, we want that power to work for us. And we see that power as outside us. Well, Ephesians says, according to the power that is at work in you, not outside you, in you. So, is the power in heaven? Yes. Is the power in us? Yes. How does that work? I like to use things we are familiar with. Electricity. The analogy I'm going to use is based on all things being equal. Not according to Ghana, but all things being equal. Now, electricity is always generated from a power source. It could be hydropower, as we have in Akosombo, or it could be thermal power, as we have in Abuazi, or it could be no power, as we have in Ghana. But that is it. I mean, there's power in Akosombo, there's power in Abuazi and other places where we generate electricity. So when we say, where is the power of electricity in Ghana base? You can say in Akosombo or in Abuazi or wherever else we generate electricity from. But the power in your home does not work according to Akosombo's power. Akosombo's power, when they generate the power, it goes through transformers. And the transformers will boost up the power a little bit and then transport the power from Akosombo through big wires. You see them, those big cables. The big cables will come to a transformer in your neighborhood who will break the power down because it is coming to your home. And then when they break it down, they're going to find a way to bring that broken down power into your home. Now, when the power comes to your home, you house the power somewhere on a service board. Whether you do proper connection or not, you have a service board. All things being equal. Now, the service board is where you have your meter. And you pipe the power inside you. Now, when there is, all things be equal again. When there is light off in your home, but there is light on at the next door neighbor, you don't go to questing Akosombo. You're questing your service board. So when you are going to repair electricity in your home, you don't go to Akosombo to fix things. You go to where your service board to check where it is and check whether the fuses are working on so and so and so forth. So you say that the service board is the power that is at work in your house. But that power that is at work in your house is according to the power that is generated from Akosombo. Are you getting it? So, is the power in you? Yes. Is the power outside you? Yes. But the power that works in your house is not the one outside you, it's the one inside you. Are you following that? Okay. So that is how the power of God works. The power of God is bigger than all of us, but he has given you a service board inside you. And that service board inside you is going to empower you and make sure that every prayer you pray is answered and every desire you have comes to pass. It is according to the power at work in you.